Chapter 11. Why not help us?
If you have known this for such a long time, why have you not told the Earth humanity? I asked, looking anxiously at Lion.
Your world worries us. A technical ingenuity moves within it that does not deserve to succumb to the hands of beings who have the Earth at disadvantage. You ask why we have not done something. This would be to take the Earth as a field of battle and forgetting that after the attack was repelled your humanity would no longer exist and your world would be a hybrid planet. I'll try to avoid this knowing that if life on Earth comes to an end, it will be the end of a planet beautiful and replete with diverse forms of life. What is required is to prepare your scientists. We have spoken on an infinity of occasions with prominent and key people in some countries. You will be surprised if I tell you that we have had contacts with ambassadors, with tenured professors, and with other people of your civilization. They simply do not believe us. They would like to see us as deformed beings, green, blue, with scales instead of skin, with enormous amphibious eyes, but they do not know that all types of human beings always present similar form. We have offered irrefutable proofs, photographs, formulas, and we spoke of things the Earth human could not know. I talked of the common man. From the beginning, as with you, we have invited them to travel in our ships and we have taken them to our greater ships and have sometimes given them samples of metals that did not exist on Earth.
What did you obtain with that?
Fundamentally, that the terrestrials with whom we have had contact are considered demented. If perchance some proof is offered, this is misplaced or it is hidden when it represents a difficult scientific challenge to explain in words of your world. Generally, they guard those proofs for which they have no explanation.
Lia, please don't talk so simply because you have seen that the human is incredulous by genetics. No, perhaps it would be too soon to adventure judgments before you intend to do so.
The experience in the treatment with your co-generationals gives us a certain authority to speak thus. Do not forget that we have studied your world through that which in my planet is equivalent to your terrestrial studies of sociology, archaeology, exobiology, cosmobiology, and the fundamental origins of the living being. I have spoken to you based on previous experiences. Listen, years ago, of your time, we encountered a man who lived in a cabin in the Alps. He lived alone. For some time we had been talking with him, including visiting with him in his cabin. Not only I but Hender and Kost also, two friends of mine. One day he decided to go down to the government house with an irrefutable proof of our presence. We had given him a kind of sample, at his request. A metallic disc of an element unknown on your world and called Gro-1367 by us. Upon seeing this sample and hearing the story he told, they seized and imprisoned him, investigated him, accused him of working for a foreign intelligence and worse. He was judged to have presumably managed somehow an incursion into some laboratory and robbed mineral proofs. And after 1 year he was secluded in a hospital for the mentally infirm. The nurses said that all of those nights they heard him to say, "Believe me, the peace of the world is in danger." But nobody believed him.
Liao looked at me intently. Has there been some convincing proofs that they have been aware of the presence of extraterrestrial beings in my world?
Yes. There is one. It occurred in Russia. An extraterrestrial ship deviated and found itself very near Siberia. A great turbulence of energy made it lose its power of absorption of energy. The commander in charge of the crew descended and left very close to an alpine lodge, two mutant human beings who had been rescued from a world destroyed by meteorites. After verifying the scanty probability of survival of those beings, they decided to leave them in that place. There were two. They were deposited in a sphere of transparent material whose principal component was solid oxygen, and after that the ship departed. The commander believed that the cold climate of Russia would help the survival a little more. He knew that he could do much more for them if they were taken to their planet, but to energize the ship would take an indeterminate lapse of time, which they did not seem to have. That night some farmers were given a message and the picking up of the mutants was finally carried out with the most absolute discretion.
In what year was that?
In 1973.
They both died?
Yes. Russia then knew that they were not alone and that sooner or later they would be presented with superior proofs of this. The component members of that group agreed to treat the case with the utmost reserve. Still, several of years later it was discovered here that a ship was orbiting the Earth, which surprised the scientists because it was not easily detectable with any ordinary radar. Until then there had been nothing more than speculation on the existence of interplanetary life, but from then on they organized greater forces to investigate from where those strange beings might have come. The United States has advanced much in the investigation of life in space beyond that of the human being. They go at the head of discoveries and analysis but have not had in their hands a living extraterrestrial being like these of the Russians, who jealously guard the movies and photos, analysis and documentation of the affair of the mutant beings. Both countries know that they are opening scarcely one portal on something that has more behind it than they have imagined. But they do not take into account that the parameters are weakly documented with which to compare one circumstance with another. If one scientist does not have one point over that which supports one theory, speaking comparatively with respect to some object, this could not be classified adequately, and very probably the proof would be lost, misplaced, or simply saved for posterity.
Then why do they do nothing?
Who?
The Russians, of course.
They did not know before they were confronted. They ignore the naturalness of life and space, saying they are on the offensive, thinking that all they encounter here, on your planet, is coming from the same place. The offensive, of course, is more focused on neighboring countries than possible threats from space.
You may be right, Lia, I said sadly. The world has been disunited from times immemorial.
We are trying to instill the knowledge of worlds under threat such as yours whenever we become aware of possible dangers. The Zums have prepared surprisingly well to enter into bellicose conflicts with worlds more prepared than yours, but when the inhabitants of one planet unite and repel the attack in simultaneous form, they cannot resist for much time outside of their ambient levels, and opt to leave that planet in peace.
And if not? Will they come soon? I asked.
They are trying to dominate your world by the end of this century. It all will begin to make a faint appearance by the end of the 1980s. Nevertheless, they believe that you would not be able to repel the attack.
Is that true? Are we at the mercy of those mercenaries of space? Do we have no extraterrestrial allies, Lian?
There is an important civilization which could charge themselves with this, but we could not decide for them.
And you?
We are not an attack squadron. We are what in your world is called archaeological or astronomical investigators. We are prepared for attacks on our ships, but greater elements are required to protect a world like yours. We could ask them to come to you through a truce of pacification which you prepare that overcomes your frictions and augments your capacity for knowledge. The human man can do this. It is an important race. Moreover, we could help those extraterrestrials, as you call us, to continue accumulating in you all the time more new knowledges. From one time to this date has been observed a scientific advance in the humanity, being that we have accelerated the accumulation of knowledge through ideas for mental implantation at a psychic vibrational level. In the same manner as a receiver, such is the brain, to which we send signals. At this time already you are proceeding toward knowledges of antimatter and the discovery of new weapons. According to the manner in which you receive the signals, whoever captures them discovers the unusual ideas never before imagined by him. Like Medusas, they emerge from the mind. At the same time is granted the capacity of analysis and then absorption of knowledge by inertia. Generally we do this with scientists who represent potential countries or scientists who in some manner have a form of rapid reception of these discoveries. For that, Today, the knowledge derived from other discoveries occurs with frequency, and a rare change in science has been noted. Your race is one civilization on its way to psychic mutation.
Do we have no other recourse apart from knowledge?
No, the primordial is peace within yourselves.
She contested roundly. The elements to employ.
The chemistry, gaseous, liquid or solid that neutralizes attacks coming from space.
Our risks.
The accumulation of energy in your own soil. That could be a danger that you could die at the mercy of such accumulation.
The enemy would use that against us.
Expectably.
How could we avoid this?
One measure of emergency would be to congeal the nuclear arms to a solid in chambers that are protected from intense heat. This process must be done slowly, because the contrary would provoke chemical reactions in the ground.
Freeze them? To what degree?
To a little more than 1,300 degrees below zero.
It was paradoxical. There in that lonely and rustic place, surrounded by trees, flowers, fruits and the chirps of birds, while in the distance the mooing of cows was lost among the barking of dogs. In the warmth of a night torn by the beauty and instantaneous resplendence of the fireflies, Lai and I spoke of military strategies at interspatial level. Questions of politics, economics, societies, emotions, conduct and existentials were treated as plus points and minus points in that place in which one could breathe the clean fresh air. In that place simplicity and liberty reigned in the field. It occurred to me at that moment that the planet already would not be the same without the presence of the living beings. We spoke of the human being surrounded by such a variety of flora and fauna. The buzz of the flies, irritating before now, boomed in that place, beautiful within the concert of vibrant notes and marvelous chords of the nature of that community of being. And a world without such fields, an earth without her flowers, the trees without their fruits, woman without her pregnancy. Would it be like that?
Look,
said Lia, signaling the splendor of the fauns almost covered by the shadows.
I asked you to come here to note a comparison between that which you have and that which you can lose. Perhaps you will forget this meeting, but always remember this earth, your dreams, your liberty, your scientific world, your classrooms, the language of the animals, the aroma of the vegetation and the splendor of the existence which emerges from one point so small, microscopic. How grand!